We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the Goodman and Hummel podcast. It's two in a row for
back
Robbie
to back.
Hummel.
Let's go.
He is.
You
back.
Act like I didn't. You didn't do any podcasts all summer except for one that I was not on.
Only because I didn't want to keep asking you and be turned down. I would have felt like that jilted.
That's not true. That is not true. You asked me the day before at like 6 p.m. Hey, can you be on at 10 a.m.? No, I gotta play. I gotta kick ass in golf tomorrow. I have to.
All right, listen. Before we get on with our pod today, which is Kelvin Sampson of the number one, preseason number one in the country, Houston Cougars, according to the Almanac. I'm going to plug the Almanac because the Almanac is, and you have it, so you could probably plug it more than I can. We sent it to you. It is going to be
friends and family and coworkers discount. Yes.
Yeah.
I have not found a typo yet. I have not found a typo yet. So that's good. But honestly, I will say it's awesome. You know, I think Blue Ribbon was the standard for probably preseason basketball publications, and Blue Ribbon's great, but they only get really deep into, I would say, the top 25 teams.
Right.
And then the Power Five have good breakdowns. And then the mid-majors, I would say, kind of fall off, whereas the Almanac is every team is broken down the same at a high level. It's great. It is great. It's going to be incredibly useful this year.
Yeah, we got everything. So if you want to buy the Almanac, go to my Twitter. I'm shamelessly plugging it because it's a bunch of young dudes that are trying to make a few bucks and just kind of make their way in the business. And I'm telling you, they are diehards. They're diehards. They did a great job. Kind of split it up into conferences. We got everything, you know, hot seat, jump seat is a cool one. I don't know if you've seen it yet.
I did. Yeah. The coaches that are ready to,
you like that?
I did. I did.
It's good. 68 best games to watch by date was pretty good. Obviously all Americans top 25. And again, that's where we got Houston ranked number one when most people have Carolina at number one. So we'll talk to Kelvin Sampson in a little bit about that. But first, some other AAC news, and that is the Memphis Tigers got hit. Well, they didn't.
Did they?
They did not.
I don't think they got hit.
This is what they got. This is what they got. A little tap on the wrist. Not even a slap. Yeah. They got nothing. The IRP, it was the second one that this so-called independent process that is going to be defunct, by the way, because it's been a complete shit show. NC State was the first one. NC State got nothing. Godfrey, I think, got a one-year show cause. Orlando Early got a six-year show cause. On this Memphis one, which ties in Penny Hardaway giving improper benefits to James Wiseman for him to move from Nashville to Memphis when he was a high school player so that Penny could coach him at Memphis East and AAU ball. They found that Penny was, I guess, not guilty, right? Not guilty.
Well, it sounds like it wasn't not guilty. It was more the committee found that he had been giving charitable acts to all sorts of players, correct? Yeah. And because he had been, you know, giving it to Joe Davis and Jeff Smith and everybody – in that community, which he has been extremely charitable with his time and money in the city of Memphis, But because of that, they were able to say that it wasn't done for recruiting. But my argument to that would be, well, if you have a lot of money, you can just be charitable and then be like, ooh, number one player. Yeah. We're going to be more charitable with him. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I could see either way. To me, the craziest thing is I was at Memphis the night that that went down.
I remember.
I forgot.
Yes.
Because that was like 3 years ago. That was pre-COVID.
Yeah, so they were playing like Alcorn State or somebody like that, wasn't it?
UIC.
UIC. I remember because I was with my daughter. I don't know what we were doing. I think we were going to like a BU game or something, and we were in a hotel, and I did a quick video. And I remember talking to you that night when it all kind of came down.
That was a wild deal. And I forgot.
Why Wiseman played three games? He played three games.
I know. And now, I mean, he's like – what, this is his second year in the NBA? He's an NBA champion, third year in the NBA.
Yeah.
I just, the speed of this is comical.
Yeah.
You cannot wait all the, like the fact that Kansas still nothing.
Right.
I mean, this is a joke. It is totally.
Kansas, Arizona, Louisville, all waiting. And LSU will be the last one. And I would expect, I would expect them all, Louisville maybe, withstanding because they already took a postseason ban. So I think Arizona took a postseason ban too. So we'll see. But
they did that with crappy teams, much like Auburn for sure did. Arizona, young team, Coach Miller's last year. They weren't going to be bad, but they were not a lock to make the NCAA tournament that year.
That's right.
Those young guys out there. There has to be a better process than this. I cannot. Well, here's
what's going to happen, I think. Here's where it's headed, Rob. From every source that I've talked to, where it's headed is the postseason ban is going to be a thing of the past. And instead of the postseason ban where you're penalizing kids, they're now going to hit coaches with suspensions and not just regular season suspensions. You could well see a Bill Self get a 7-game regular season suspension and also not be eligible to coach in the NCAA tournament. It would not shock me. Now, again, things can change.
Can he appeal that?
Not if you're in the IARP process, which again will be the greatest thing of this. I remember talking to the woman who was in charge of it when it first started up. And I remember asking her and I said, like, all right, you got this new independent. That was a big thing, right? The word independent. Right.
It's not a biased NCAA person coming down on somebody.
I said, well, whose rules do they follow? Well, the NCAA. I said, who are they being trained by? Well, still the NCAA. I said, well, how the hell is it independent then? It's the same shit. You're just putting the word independent there to make it look like it's independent, but it's the same old bullshit. And again, it took forever. And you know, that's where Greg Sankey and this commission or committee or whatever it is are trying to speed up the process and make changes.
That's got to change.
Yeah.
But the thing is, that's a killer in this. Did Oklahoma State go IARP?
No, they did not.
So they went NCAA and get banned from the postseason. I mean, that is terrible.
And appealed and lost. So and appealed terrible. And lost.
That is terrible.
Stupid.
Mike Boynton has every right to be so furious, as he should be. And I'm
he's
sure
the only one. Everybody else. Now, again, you could say Auburn, but Auburn took it like you talked about 2 years ago when they weren't going to get in the NCAA tournament. It was a COVID year. Sharif Cooper was suspended. They weren't going anywhere.
Right.
You know, all the other schools got a slap on the wrist. You know, you get a $5,000 fine, whether it's USC, South Carolina.
Oh, no.
Alabama. Right. Probation.
Big effing deal. Programs, I mean, right. Come on.
So now you have all these coaches that are texting me the other day and they're like, well, like nobody's really gotten hit. Why am I going to be scared of anything of the NCAA now? Like, I'm just going to cheat my ass off. And again, cheating your ass off is different now because you got NIL.
Right.
So you can legally cheat your ass off for the most part. But you know, again, you know, we'll talk to Kelvin Sampson about this later, but you're not supposed to provide inducements for recruits NIL-wise. Well, that shit's going on everywhere right now.
Well, yes, it is. Why would anyone, if they – get dinged right now until the IARP is gone. Why would you not go that route? Seeing everybody
it's
else.
Gone, no, you can't now. I don't think you can.
You can't even select it.
You already have to have done it. You have to be 3 years in the process.
This is a quick process for the IARP.
Exactly. in and out. Not one and done, but might as well be because it sucked.
This feels weird though. I want to crush the NCAA, but yeah. It's not even. I mean, I guess it is sort of their thing. They train these guys, but it's still. It's like, what is this shit?
But Penny Hardaway and Memphis were celebrating earlier this week because, you know, from everything I was told, Penny thought he was going to get hit.
Really?
We all did. Everybody thought he was going to get some sort of suspension for this. And he got nothing. And again, I'm done with all this. I'm so over all this. Even Dickie V is like tweeting out, like, what are we doing? This has been it's over the 5 years. About
this, if you get caught cheating and they're like, oh, Coach Jeff Goodman suspended 5 games. You're like, all right, I've got an All-American here balling. Like, I'll take that.
This is how long ago it was, Rob. This is how long ago. I don't know. I think I've told you this, but maybe I haven't. When it all broke, I was in Newport, Rhode Island with ESPN, and it all broke in the morning. And I was in Newport to cover Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward's first training camp with the Boston Celtics.
Wow.
That day. And I still did. I went there and it was so funny. They called me to ESPN right away. They're like, hey, can you do a hit on SportsCenter? And I'm like, no, hell no. I have to read up on this. Like, I'm not going out there.
That's why they had me out there on SportsCenter after the game, because you couldn't do it.
I declined. I was like, I need to find out more info. I'm not going out there without having information about what this whole thing is about. Now, I went out. I talked about the Celtics. And Kyrie was not happy with me that day or that whole month because I kept asking him about why he left Cleveland. And Kyrie didn't want to talk about that.
I'm sure he didn't.
Yes, he did not. He did not. So anyway, all right. Again, buy the almanac. Check my Twitter, Goodman Hoops, for that. We also got a merch store, new merch store that we'll talk about as we get in. I wanted to get a good shirt of you, Hummel, but Doster threw me under the bus.
I know. You know what? You got to know who your friends are in this business,
Jeff. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. It was
the thing is funny. Shirt. I get a text from Doster and he's like, hey, Goodman's trying to pull a fast one on you to put some picture of you on a shirt in the merch store, but we're actually going to secretly put it of him and tell him it's of you.
He tried.
You must have checked.
I did.
You clicked on it and checked. That's
funny. He sent me like one of those like generic links. And he's like, hey, here's the Hummel shirt. Tweet it out. And I'm like, I clicked on that baby and I was like, I don't trust Doster.
If only you hadn't.
I know. They would have gotten me. Anyway. All right. Listen, let's get to it. Let's get to Kelvin Sampson, who I've known a long time, but I think you've known longer than I have even when he recruited you. So we'll get to the coach
in Oklahoma. Shut up.
The coach of the number one team in the country, Kelvin Sampson.
Breaking news, the Field of 68 has an online store, and it's your one-stop shop for the latest and greatest merch in college basketball and college football. You can find shirts to support your favorite team, make fun of your rival team, or boast Field of 68 catchphrases like Daddy Brad, Cussin' and Discussin', and the Star Heels. Go to www.fieldof68.shop today and enter promo code TOUCHDOWN for 20% off at checkout.
All right, now pleased to welcome in Kelvin Sampson of the Houston Cougars. And all right, Kelvin, I got to start with this. I know you recruited this knucklehead back when he was coming out of high school. Give me the real story. I saw him play a ton, and I still say his vertical was probably about 16 inches back then.
Oh, man.
Irrelevant. That's irrelevant. It's just like judging a loaf of bread by the two end pieces. It has nothing to do with Robbie Hummel. The way I would describe Robbie, Gene wasn't your Gene.
No, I was for Coach Payne. Coach Payne.
So probably the coach that I was most liked of the old school guys was probably Coach Cady. John Chaney, maybe a little bit. Guys like that. Gene and I actually were good friends. Every year on the Nike trip, I say every year, probably 3 or 4 years, it would be, we play golf, it would be me and Coach Cady versus Roy Williams and Dean Smith.
Nice.
And So Coach Katie was a huge cigar smoker. And so he would take four Cohibas, all uncut, because he'd snap those things. I kept thinking he's going to snap his finger off with his cigar cutter. He smoked two on the front nine, two on the back nine. And Coach Smith was a stickler for shots. Coach Katie and I were both probably about 11 or 12 handicap. Roy is about a four or five. Coach Smith in his day was probably about a four or five. But at that time, he was probably more like me and Gene, maybe 13 or 14. But he always massaged and manipulated the stroke. So let's say he got a stroke on 15 or 16. So we'd get to 15 or 16. He'd say, Calvin, Gene, come over here. And he'd get to the scorecard and say, we have a stroke on 16. We're not going to take it on 16. We're going to take it on 18. you would see Coach Katie blow his top. Now, I was too reverent of Coach Smith to say anything. I was like, okay, yes, sir. He would say, hell no, you're not doing that. That's cheating. So, like I said, I was a lot like Coach Katie. Robbie picked the perfect coach, perfect school. And I think if more kids chose the right coaching staff versus the name of a school, we'd have less transfers.
I would agree. I would agree with that. All right. So I don't know if you saw it, Kelvin, but we got a new publication called The Almanac. It is going to be the best preseason publication out there. If you don't have it, we'll get it to you, but I think you do have it.
Send it to me.
So it's ridiculous. It's like 820 pages. And we voted, a bunch of us, and the Houston Cougars are the preseason number one team in the country. Most people have North Carolina. I know right now I can tell what you're thinking. Why the hell did you do this to me? Why would you put me at number one? But you guys are damn good this year. Damn good. How do you feel when I say that? Preseason number one. You've never had that at any stop in your career, preseason number one. That's reserved for Duke, Carolina, Arizona back in the day. Like, you've never had that.
No, it's almost sacrilegious to vote our team number one. But let me ask you this, Jeff and Robbie. How many teams have been voted number one the year after they lost four starters?
I can't imagine.
I would not think many.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm getting a little confused. I know what we have coming back, and I know what we have coming in. But September and October is so convoluted. You're trying to help your freshmen define their games because nobody ever has. Which means they try to do way too much stuff they can't do. So you're trying to take this huge piece of steak with all this fat on it and bone and carve it up and shape it and get to just the meat. Jarrus has this tool bag. And his tool bag, he's got about eight moves. I wouldn't say any of them are great. I wouldn't say any of them are bad.
Yeah.
But at any point in time, he'll go pull one of the eight. So I'm trying to get that tool bag down to two. Now, what are you good at? Not what you think you're good at. Where do we drive the line between perception and reality? And Robbie will understand this. He couldn't do in high school what he did at Purdue. Right. He wasn't playing against the same people. That stuff you got away with in high school, it doesn't fly in college. He's going every day. He's going against Jaywan Roberts and Reggie Chaney. Those guys are in their fourth and fifth year of college. Some days he doesn't score because, he doesn't have a defined game yet. Now, when the ball hits the rim, he can get higher than anybody. He can go tip it. He can grab it. He's good at those things. But offensively, I think a coach's responsibility for freshmen is help them define their game so they're not all over the place. And that's what we're doing for Jarrus, Terrence Arsenault, and Emmanuel Sharp. All three are very talented kids by themselves. But how do we integrate what you think you can do, which you can't, versus what we need you to do to help us win. And there, and there is the there's the crux. So when I hear about rankings or discussions or stuff, and I hope all young coaches will get to this point. I know Coach Katie was there, Coach Thompson, Nolan Richardson, John Chaney, Coach Knight, all the great coaches. They got to the point in their careers where they didn't really care what anybody said. They didn't think what anybody thought. And now that I'm there, it's such a liberating feeling.
I'm sure. You know,
it is, where you just go to work every day, and if your name is mentioned, who cares? If it's not mentioned, who cares? I mean, you realize none of that stuff really matters.
When did that change, Kelvin? You know? At what point in your career did that flip and you just say, you know, and maybe it was after the Indiana stuff. I don't know.
Yeah. I think it when I realized I was old. I'm too old. I'm too old to worry about stuff that doesn't matter. When I was younger, and this is just full disclosure, I thought it was important to have national compliments.
Sure.
You know, I don't know why I thought that. Maybe because I had a discombobulated ego. Who knows? But I think we all want to be recognized, or at least our team. We want our team to be recognized. And when they're not, you know, you talk about other teams, other coaches, but as you get older, but you realize that stuff's not important. You know, just do your job. And as I get older, one of my responsibilities is I try to help as many younger coaches as I can. Now, some of those guys have teams that's better than my team, maybe.
Right.
But I still try to get them to focus on things that they can control. And they've heard that a million times. They say it, but they don't do it.
Right.
Now, in this world of social media, it's a 999 theory. Nine people are going to like it. Nine people's not going to like it. And nine people don't care. You got to figure out which group of nine you're worried about. I would tell you to put a fourth nine and say your family, your team, and your faith. That's the only thing you need to worry about. Worry about that. The other stuff really doesn't matter.
Coach, when you took over at Houston, this was a program that had not made the NCAA tournament in 20 of 21 seasons and had a facility that, you know, was not considered in the top tier or even the top half tier of college basketball. Now all that's changed. And you guys have a brand new renovated Fertitta Center, and now it's five straight trips to the NCAA tournament if COVID hadn't happened. You know, when you look back on this, is it just, you know, what do you think about it?
Well, one of the questions, probably the most common question I get asked, Robbie, and I don't really know how to answer it, but did I think that this would happen? I thought it could happen. I thought we could win. And really the thing that motivated me was the other teams in the league. The Pell Cal, I thought the most consistent program in our conference, the team that I wanted our program to emulate, was Cincinnati. I wanted to be like Cincinnati, but because I thought Cincinnati was what Oklahoma was when we were there. Because I think we had 12 straight years where we're ranked in the top 25, and that's pretty consistent. And I thought we could be consistent if we could get over the hump. You know, what Mick Cronin did at Cincinnati was just unbelievable. What Bob Huggins did, I said, we can be like Cincinnati. But SMU was right there with them. Kevin Ollie was at UConn. They were my first year, they were coming off a national championship. So I said, it's a great league for us. My biggest struggles, my biggest fight, my best recruits was our administration. Because I don't think they thought we could win. And the reason I say that is the level the program was supported. Now, you can say what you want, but I saw the facilities. I saw the locker room. I saw the travel itineraries. I saw the food budget. I saw how these kids were treated versus the way Cincinnati was. All these ADs want to win until they find out what their commitment has to be. Yeah. You know, they want you to win, and when you don't, they're going to fire you. And that's one of the questions I asked the administration. I said, the last 16 years, you've had four coaches. Now, I'm not a math major, but as every 4 years, you fire a coach. So what's going to change? Something has to change. Or 4 years from now, you're going to fire me. Well, you're this kind of, no, it's not about the coach. It's about the administration. Coaches win games. Coaches and players win games, mostly players, but coaches recruit those players. Coaches and players can get to the point they can win games, but you can't win a championship without an administration that has a commitment. So I put it on their lap. You know, I talked to them about chartering flights. You know, I remember my first year we flew to East Carolina. I'm sorry. We flew to Raleigh, North Carolina, and bus to Greenville. Coming back, I think it was a midweek game. We had a 4:30 wake up the next morning. After the game in Greenville, we drove back to Raleigh. And so we had a 4:30 wake up. I think we had a 6:50 flight. Might have been a 6:15 flight out of RDU. We get there and there was fog. So the flight was delayed. It was pushed back from 6:30, let's say, to 7:30, then to 8:30. We didn't leave until almost 5 that afternoon. So our kids got up at 4:30, wake up call, bus to the airport, waited in the airport. We literally got money because, you know, we don't bring cash. Those kids had no money. So we had to give them money and to help them get some food. And then we got back at 7 o'clock, 7:30. That was on a Wednesday. Let's say Thursday we got back. And then we had a game Saturday. So now think about Cincinnati, the team that I wanted to emulate. They chartered everywhere. Now that motivated me to go back and knock on some doors. After practice at Cincinnati, they have a hot meal waiting on their kids. At SMU, at UConn, at all those top schools. So don't say you want to be something and fund it this way, but have the expectations this way. So if you don't, if we're going to stay where we are with our support and what we have, then don't have high expectations. Quit firing coaches. Give them a lifetime contract. Say winning doesn't matter. So when we got through that, the guy that really helped get this going was Mac Rhodes, who's now the AD at Baylor. Then the guy that took off from him that did a phenomenal job is now the AD at Arkansas, Hunter Yurecek. Those two guys were the guys that I felt like I bonded with. I felt like they were listening. A lot of guys hear you, but they were listening. And then they got our president, Renu Couture, on board, and she loves athletics. I just don't think there was a path. There was a vision for it. You know, sometimes administrators, if you don't ask them, they're not going to give it to you. You know, and that's one of human beings' greatest weaknesses is to ask for something you really want or really need, because passive aggressive. We're afraid of confrontation. We're afraid of no. And that's another advantage, I guess, of getting old is what's the worst thing you can do? Tell you no.
Right.
So, when I took the job, I had already talked with Mac Rhodes. I didn't want a handshake agreement. We tied building the facility, the construction facility to my buyout clause. So I agreed to a high buyout clause. But every time that we put in milestones on, for instance, a construction fence. I can't tell you how excited I got when I saw that construction fence. And then when they brought in those front loaders and those bulldozers, those land movers, I wanted to run around with the birthday hat on. I said, this is happy birthday. Look what we got going. And then you could just see it. I mean, I don't drive in that way. I drove in down Holman and turned left on Cullen every day, I think, for 16 months, because I couldn't wait the next day to see the upgrade, the improvements, how much construction that they were doing on that facility. So construction, I took the job April 3rd, 2014, April, May, June. That construction fence was up in June.
Wow.
They were digging dirt in July and August. Dang. And so from April 14th January of 2016, we moved into that facility. Now we got something cooking, right? Now we got a little something going. Before, when we brought a recruit on campus, not just me, Tom Penders, Ray McCallum, all those guys, they had to, you know, you're not going to take them to Hoffman's. I'm sorry. You're not going to take them over there. So you took them to your office and you had these little drawings they had for 10 years and said, here's what it's going to look like. But it never got to that point. And then I think the critical juncture in this whole deal was a meeting I had with Tillman Fertitta. And, you know, Tillman's a high achiever. He also has a rough edge to him. So when you're dealing with somebody like that, you can't go in passive. You know, you can't go in there and float like a butterfly. You know, you got to sting like a bee with a dude like him now. So I looked at him and told him, I think we can win a national championship here. I said, it's going to be hard in football because of the way the rules are set up. You know, we're a non-power five football team. Non-power football teams have a hard time. Cincinnati did it last year, which tells you what an unbelievable job Coach Fickell and his staff did to be in the playoffs at Cincinnati. He was representing the dreams of everybody. But in basketball, we're all the same. But we're not all the same. So, but at least we have the same path. It's like a George Mason, a VCU. Teams like that can get to a Final Four. And I talked to him about that. But I said, we've got to do something with Hoffman's. And I played on this. This was the kind of my mantra with him was that he was the chairman of the Board of Regents. And usually when you're the chairman of board, I didn't know he was the chairman of Board of Regents for 10 years. I thought you were the Board of Regents. The next guy came and you went off and the next guy came on, right? But I said, wouldn't it be awesome that during your tenure here, that the legacy you left as the chairman of the Board of Regents, that we would have a brand new arena to move us into this next phase of how we want to build our basketball program. Now, when you talk to Tillman, he's got two iPads, a laptop, a phone. He's got a million things going. So you got to figure out whether he's hearing you or listening to you. And that's why I threw the national championship thing out. At least I want him to say, what did you say? But long story short, he wrote us a check for $20 million.
Wow.
And that jump started
everything.
Fundraising for the Fertitta Center. And that thing is, you guys have seen it. It's one of the
beautiful.
Yeah, it is. And it's the right size for us. Some people say, well, it only seats 7,100. That's right. It only seats 7,100. And we fill it up just about every night, whether it's conference or non-conference. And if it's a non-conference game that doesn't draw well, 5,000 to 7,000 seat arena is like 20,000 to 22,000 seat arena. We only have 2,000 empty seats. Yep. So that environment in there drives our home court advantage.
Coach, how special has it been to maybe get to know better Hakeem Olajuwon? I know he was really helpful for Josh Carlton last year, and he's been around your program. Just maybe talk a little bit about that and how cool it's been to see him interact with your guys.
You know, every year since I've been here, I always have Elvin Hayes talk to the team every year. Because I want our kids to understand history. You know, there was people that came before us. You know, in my opinion, the coach for the University of Houston that will always be known for basketball is Coach Guy V. Lewis. You know, to me, he represents the glory days of Houston basketball. Should be a Hall of Famer. Well, he's a Hall of Famer, right?
Yeah.
To have him as the name on our building is an honor. But the guy that got this thing going was Elvin Hayes. You know, the game of the century, the first game of the century was UCLA and Houston in 1968. I still remember being a little boy watching that game with my father. We might have had to move the rabbit ears around or at least fold the antenna on top of the rabbit ears a little tighter to get good coverage. But I remember that game. And I was so blown away when I got to meet Elvin. Now that I've been here 8 years, he does our color for our radio broadcast. But I just, you know, it's just such an honor to have a guy like Elvin talk to our kids. They don't know who he is. So I tell them to go Google him, you know, and then now they know who Dream is. But Dream is so humble and such a nice man. He's a nice person to everybody. He's so polite, thoughtful. He has no ego about anything. He'll do anything for you. I've never heard him say a bad word about anybody, and I've never heard anybody say a bad word about him. But he's got such a calming disposition that he breaks down your barriers of intimidation. You know, a lot of kids are intimidated when they see someone that a giant in the game. But he makes you feel at ease, and that's why when he wants to swing by practice, Coach, what, you know, with his accent, he's always said, Coach, what time practice today? So when he comes by, he always comes by with a friend. Comes and sits on the baseline. It's always an honor for us when a team comes.
So you just got through having a heck of a recruiting class coming in. You mentioned them, Jairus Walker, Terrence Arsenault. Jairus is a top 10-ish player. I don't know the last top 10 player that they got at Houston, but it's been a while. Arsenault, I saw both a summer ago. Loved Arsenault at the Peach Jam. You know, you've recruited high level players before. You've coached them, right? I mean, Eric Gordon. You've had plenty of them, Blake, but you haven't had them at Houston. And your culture at Houston, I think we all know, has been based on toughness, grit, getting these kids that weren't heavily recruited to play so damn hard and together.
Right?
Do you worry at all? Do you worry at all bringing in those guys now? Because let's face it. It's not the same. I don't want to say the culture is different now than it was when Eric Gordon came in. I know Eric Gordon. I mean, that kid was all about the right things. Blake, I thought, was all about not to say, you know, these kids aren't, but it's different now with social media.
Yeah. I remember my first conversations with Jairus is actually when we were quarantined in Indianapolis during the Final Four. You know, for some reason, I still remember the room number and the floor. We were in that room for almost, I don't know how many days. It was a long time. But during the day, you know, we would just recruit. I'll give an example. By the time we lost to Baylor in that semifinal game, before we got on the plane to go home, we already had Josh Carlton and Kyler Evers committed for the following year. So that we already had two huge building blocks. And then after we got back home, probably within a month, we had Tajay Moore. But one of my assistants, Quantus White, who did an unbelievable job with Jairus, he talked to me about Jairus, pulled up some video. We watched him on a laptop. And when I looked at him, I thought I was looking at Antonio McDyess. Remember him?
Yeah, yes.
That's kind of where he reminds, size-wise. You know, 6'9" and mobile. That doesn't shoot like Antonio, but that size and mobile and athletic like that. So we started talking, and he said, Coach, I like your program. I really want to come for a visit. Okay. How do kids want to come to Houston for a visit? You know, I'd like to go visit University of Hawaii. Don't want to sign ways, but I'd like to visit. we got further, and I got to know his family. They're the ones that blew me away, his mom and dad. They're proud of who they are. They're sons and daughters of immigrants. They're high achievers. They're extremely, extremely smart, articulate, very protective of Jairus. Every one of their kids, their daughters, are all successful people. Volleyball players at University of Maryland, Baltimore County, graduate, St. Joe University graduate, and they're all doing well in life. And Jairus is the baby. And so, you know, you read the tea leaves when you recruit a kid. It's the oldest, the baby, the middle child, you know, you kind of over the years, you kind of know what you're dealing with. But Jairus was very he was very protective, protected by his family, but in a good way, in a good way. So as I started talking to his father said, "I like the way you coach." And the other schools were doing a phenomenal job. You know, we all know what a great recruiter Bruce is, and Nate, those guys. So we just kept building a relationship. At the end of the day, that's it. You have to have a relationship of trust. But as it went on, I made sure they knew what they were getting into. But they watched every game.
They knew. They knew who you were.
They knew who. But here's what I loved, Jeff. That's what they wanted. Yeah. They wanted Horace, the dad, Horace wanted Jairus to go play for a program that could get the best out of their son. Where can I send him? And he had great choices. All those coaches could do that. But I think the factor was a big factor in that was the job Qantas did early. Qantas, you know, a great assistant coach is circle to bases. Yeah. They close the circle, you know, girlfriend, favorite aunt, sisters, you know, right, two dogs, yep. Oreo and Siri, whatever their names are. They know it all. So they felt a comfort zone. And I think the fact that all my assistants are former players, Hollis Price, Qantas White, and Kellen, those are our three main recruiters right now. They played here. They know what to say. But more importantly, they know how to massage things. They know how to answer the question because they played for me. Jairus never wavered. Now he took all his visits. I can't remember all the schools he visited, but he did take all his visits. But I always felt like we were going to be one of two at the end. Wouldn't have surprised me had he not come here, but it didn't surprise me that he did. Went to IMG in Bradenton a lot just to sit down with him. But I did the same thing at Beaumont United with Terrence, his mother and father. We do good recruiting kids where it's the mother and the father. We're only dealing with the mom and the dad. We do really good. Terrence was the mom and the dad. Jairus was the mom and the dad. Now, Jairus's AAU coach named Mookie was phenomenal. He's high level. He knew exactly where Jairus needed to go.
You couldn't get Hummel through the mom and the dad. What happened there?
Didn't have enough time to close the circle.
That's
man.
True. He only got to recruit me for like literally a month or yeah. 2 months. It wasn't yeah, a long we're time. Behind.
I remember going to East Chicago, and what was the guard's name? Moore?
Etuan Moore, yes.
Yeah, I thought he was unbelievable. That class, those two guys, at the end of the day, those two guys, Moore and Hummel, those were two that I wanted, but that's the way it goes.
I got to say, though, Coach, I got to thank you. You did get me out of Algebra 2 class. You came to Bapa High School, and I got to leave. So that was great. That was great. It was a good visit with you, that's it. Coach, you lost Marcus last year to injury. You get him back this year. How is his health, and what do you expect from him this season?
Well, more importantly, Robbie, what did you shoot today?
78. Yeah, that's right, Jeff.
All he does, hey, Kelvin, he doesn't work. All he does is complain about how hard he works for 5 months of the year. And the other 7 months, I'm telling you, he's played. How many rounds did you play this offseason, Rob?
That's why I shoot 78.
I don't know how many rounds, but I don't
it's
want
worked.
To say how many
yes,
rounds.
Yes, it's either. Worked for him.
Yeah. You got to put the work
there. Where do you live, Rob?
In Chicago. Where, so where, golf where, season's where, winding down. We're, yeah, we're about where, out of where, weather here.
What course you play today?
Evanston Golf Club.
You play middle tees or back tees?
It's like 6,600 yards, but it would that's be strong. The middle tees. But
that's strong. Tree that's line good. Open.
Yes, you can spray it, but if you do, you're gonna have a hard time getting to the green.
I'm saying you're about 285 off the tee.
Yeah, that's fair. That's yeah. fair.
Okay, Marcus. I'm just trying to figure out how many strokes I'm gonna get.
But when I come down, we're playing.
There you go. Marcus is he's the right kind of best player because he's a hard worker. I like thinking outside the box with edits. You know, I just don't like showing stuff. Like one of the edits that I show our players is the importance of hitting singles. Like we have a clip of Tom Brady playing against, can't remember who the team is, but he threw for 366 yards and didn't complete a pass past 10 yards. Wow. He'd throw swing passes and they run for 30. He'd throw a button hook, a hook, and they'd come back. He'd break a tackle and run for 40. A 5-yard out, catch it, 12 yards. A 10-yard in, catch it. But he'd dink and dink and dink, but they're all singles. Then you show him a film of Patrick Mahomes where he's throwing 50 yards on a clothesline and the guy makes a phenomenal catch, 50 yards. Then we go back to Tom Brady's 10-yard pass where they run for 40. That's 50 yards. They're both 50 yards. You're not Patrick Mahomes. There's only one or two of them in the world. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of guys that can throw it 5 yards and 10 yards. And so getting kids to – and that's one of the things that we sell them on, cut down on mistakes and turnovers. Just make the simple play. Marcus is the master of that. Marcus is like the catcher and a no-hitter. You know, you can go – the whole game, and just remember, that guy's a really good shooter. He was our best defender. He led us in steals. He made all of the extra passes. He does all that stuff. We played Alcorn State last year. Don't remember the score, but Marcus had 6 steals in that game. He led us in floor burns. You know, all the stars want to play when the lights come on. The guys that are winners that you can count on day in, day out over the course of 6 months are guys like Marcus. You know, I wanted him back, not for his points. You know, we'll figure out who can score a point. You know, it's like Bob Stoops said, you know, when Bob was coaching football at Oklahoma, a receiver would transfer and everybody would just start, you know, panicking. Bob said, well, don't forget, he only caught 7 passes last year. We'll find somebody and catch 7 passes. But Marcus is the right kind of best player. He wants to win. When he called me, I talked to him a couple of days before his announcement that he's coming back came out, and we talked about, you know, staying true to who you are. I didn't have to say that to him. That kid is, when he got here, I think he was a top 300 players. He wasn't even ranked in the top 200.
Right.
I think there's 2 schools in the state of Texas that offered him a scholarship, us and UTEP. That's it. So what did you guys see in him? I liked him. I don't care who else is recruiting somebody when I offer him a scholarship. I like you. I like you. And I don't like you because somebody else liked you. I liked you because I liked you. He can shoot.
Yeah.
And he was tough. Not a great ball handler, a little overweight. But you know what? That's why you have strength coaches. That's why you have assistant coaches. We can get him better. It's hard to teach somebody to be a really good shooter. You make them better, but you can't make them outstanding. Marcus is an outstanding shooter. Every time he shoots the ball, I think it's going in. Armani Brooks, Quentin Grimes. I've had a lot of really good shooters over the years. I always thought their balls were going in. I've had some kids where I don't think their ball's ever going to go in.
Hey, you turn 67 next week, Wednesday.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
67. All right. So Jay Wright retired at, I don't know, 60. You know, Roy was gone. Like, everything's changing in college basketball, and we're all talking about, you know, so much change so quickly and how it's going to force a lot of you older guys out earlier than expected, then you would want to go out. Do you feel that way at all, Kelvin, or do you just feel like, hey, I got to adapt and I still love it? And obviously you got it rolling there.
This is a true story, Jeff and Robbie. The entire time I recruited Jairus and Terrence and Emmanuel, NIL never came up. any of those three guys. I never talked about it, and they never asked me. I kept waiting for them to ask me. You would think Jairus's people would know, okay, if he goes there, what's he going to get? Because this might be what he's going to get over here. But they never mentioned it. Terrence's mother and father, he comes from a Jairus's mother and father have full-time jobs. They work all day, every day. Terrence's mother and father work all day, every day. One of them works with a truck driving company. The other one works at a UPS store. Just workers. We had an advantage on Terrence because of Kellen did an unbelievable job closing the circle on Terrence. But Terrence had been over to our games. He knew what to expect. Emmanuel's father was his high school coach. High school coaches like us. So, but nobody ever mentioned NIL. Now, once they got here, now we have, some people that are responsible for that. And our kids understand what the rules are when they sign an NIL deal or have an NIL deal. They have a form they have to fill out and it goes in. And sometimes I'll ask, Marcus does good. Jairus does really good. But that's after they get here. I have zero interest. We're not making any NIL deals to come here now. You're looking for an NIL deal, then this is not the place for you. But after you get here, we play the game. I want our kids to have every advantage everybody else has. I'm 2 feet in with NIL. I'm just not 2 feet in with offering money or offering a deal to get a kid to come here. And I have not done that, and I don't plan on doing it. So NIL deal, we may miss on some kids because of that. But that's okay. I've been missing on kids for 34 years.
Kellen being the coach in waiting, I want to know, is he trying to push you out? I mean, he wants this job at some point. Like, you can't go on to, like, Boeheim at 77.
No. God, no. Please, somebody just stick a 22 in the back of my ear and just say, out of your misery. God, I can't imagine that.
You'll be on the beach. Hey, you'll be on the beach. And
you know, one of the things that helps me is I have two grandkids. And full disclosure, I'm not sure I should say this. But sometimes, practice is not going good. And we've already been out there for hour and a half, hour 45, 2 hours, whatever. And I'll look at Kellen and I'll say, Kellen, you take him. I just go play with the grandkids.
Kellen, let him deal with it.
Yeah, you deal with this today. I'm caught about as far as I can with it. If I stay here 5 more minutes, I'm going to kick him out. Then we're going to have to get up at 6 o'clock. And I do not want to get up at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. So I'm going to go play with Maisie, Jade, and Kyle and Ned. And we're going to have a good time this afternoon. Because they think Papa is, now nobody else probably does, but Maisie and Colin think Papa's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Coach, I want to ask you this just because I've always been curious about this. I got to see firsthand how good your team was at Indiana. You have Eric Gordon, you have DJ White, and then role guys that are really good players too. Jordan Crawford and Jamarcus Ellis. Do you ever think back to that team and just think about what maybe could have happened just because of how good they were?
Who else was on that team? Armand Bassett.
Armand, really good player.
Crawford, right? Crawford?
Yeah. I think when Jordan Crawford. I think when Armand transferred to Ohio, the next year, I think he had 32 against Georgetown in the NCAA tournament.
Yes, he did.
Jordan Tone Ellis was jack of all trades. DJ. I just talked to DJ last week for like an hour.
He's working an NBA team, right?
Yeah.
Did he just get hired?
He calls me and said, Coach, I need you to make a call for me because he was applying for a job with the Oklahoma City Thunder as a scout development assistant coach type role. And I knew those guys over there. And we just started talking. He's got three beautiful daughters. I could hear him. He was being daddy that day because I could hear his daughters in the background. And I love talking to DJ. Eric, love Eric and his mother. He and his mother come to a lot of games. No, I don't think about that as far as what it could have been, but I do think about how much I enjoyed coaching those kids and what great kids they were for us. The thing I remember about that team was how tough they were and how well they played together. Even though Eric was the best player, there was no jealousy on that team. Now, how far they could have gone, I don't know. I think the Final Four that year was
Memphis. It was loaded. It was like Memphis, North Carolina,
Kansas.
It was
Kansas. Kansas. Right.
Yes, yeah, all the top teams.
I don't know if we were good as those teams, but we were as good or better as any team we played that year.
Well, DJ White might be nice to talk to, but it sure sucked guarding him. But our center's got in foul trouble. And I'm 190 pounds out there trying. Yeah. It was.
I loved coaching DJ White, but I think you have to give a lot of credit for DJ to Mike Davis.
Yep.
You know, he doesn't come to Indiana without Mike. And I remember talking to him when I got there. I always respected those guys' loyalty to Mike, and that was something I wanted to build their trust like Mike had. Because if it were not for Mike, I wouldn't have had those kids there. So, you know, sometimes the guy you replaced, nobody wants to give that guy any credit. They only just want to, you know, tear him down or find something wrong with him or nitpick this or nitpick that. But I'll say that Mike Davis had a lot to do with our success that first year.
Hey, Kelvin, probably the best atmosphere I've ever been in, and it may be recency bias, but was this past year when Chris Beard went back to Texas Tech. I've never seen anything so hostile. The only other one that I can probably compare might have been the one where Eric Gordon went to Champaign. I was there for that one.
Oh, God.
I mean, you remember that. That was insane. Security guards, everything.
Yeah. That was I talked to Chris. You know, we usually scrimmage every year. And, you know, we talked about that. And I love scrimmaging in Texas Tech because I always felt like they made us better. And I think they felt the same way. Chris would always ask me to, you know, say a few words to his team, and I would say a few words to his. And then when I saw that he left and went to Texas, you just kind of wanted to cringe because you knew what was coming.
But that was at least on a coach. Like with Eric, I just thought it was so tough because it was a freshman. He was a kid.
Yeah, his mother and father were just awesome. His mother and father was just awesome. I remember the security, but University of Illinois is a tough place to play anyway.
Yes,
they're always good. They always have a great coach. They always have a great program. Those fans there, it's one of the, you know, you always talk about, you know, Kansas's environment or Duke's environment. The environment that gets kind of lost in this whole thing is Illinois. Illinois fans are unbelievable, man. And then not just that night. That night we just threw, you know, we just squirted some lighter fluid on the old charcoals and then the flame blew up for the night. But there, you know, when Tom takes his Michigan State team in there, that's not exactly a picnic now. You know, Robert remembers what it was like for Purdue to go to Champaign.
It's no joke.
That's an unbelievably good fan base.
Well, listen, we really appreciate you taking a few. Your stories are priceless. I mean that. Like your storytelling has gotten better over the years. And it was always good. But most people, as you get older, you're going to forget. Maybe you're just embellishing some of it. I don't know. But they're damn good.
And, it's like a fine wine.
Exactly.
There you go. I thought the kind of the underrated discussion here was me nitpicking Hummels. Golf game. So
when I come down to do a Houston game this year, we're going out to play too.
Come on, man. We got some unbelievable courses.
Houston's
come down here and play.
I will.
Listen,
I will take you up on that.
Really appreciate it. The preseason number one Houston Cougars. I know you're cringing, but you got to wear it. Wear it proudly.
Well, I used to say that in 50 Cent won't get a cup of coffee at McDonald's, but now it's like 250.
That's right. All right, we'll see you soon.
Thanks, okay. Coach.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate you having me on.
Thanks. You got it. Take care.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.